This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Stephen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Hopefully they know me for the latter.
Of course.
Of course they do.
Stephen, now, I mean, you have like a great list of credits to your name already, and I know that quite aside from being a comedic actor, you're also a wonderful poet and writer and just very versatile. So for anyone that's not already familiar with your work, before we start talking about your new show, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be in the arts?
Oh, gee. Well, I suppose I've always been a performer. But if I remember like being in Cloncurry, my hometown in Northwest Queensland, and being like 5 years old, and my mum always wanted me to dance. And I remember like my grandparents would even wake me up, like they'd have family barbecues and stuff, like little parties, you know, there'd be parties with the mob, and then they'd wake me up like, and ask if I could come out and dance for the mob. So I'd be in the backyard dancing in my PJs for the mob, and I think that's where I became a social butterfly too, because then I got to stay up when all the other kids had to sleep.
You must have been a very good dancer.
I can shake my cheek quite well. I grew up in Townsville, and then I heard about a course that was happening in Perth called the Aboriginal Music Theatre Training Program. And so I moved to Perth for that, and then from there I got accepted into WAPA. Spent a couple of years there with WAPA, and moved back to Brisbane. So I guess that kind of thing, like Michael, who used to run the Aboriginal Music Theatre Training Program, he was very adamant in making sure that, you know, the attendees were, of the course, were versatile because you were more employable. So being a singer, active dancer. But then writing was also something I've always done. Like I've always written as well. I've always loved reading. And so I've been able to utilize all of those kind of loves together, fortunately. And unfortunately, you know, I'm in a position where people will kind of pay to see me do it, so I'm lucky.
Stephen, your studies at WAPA, and you know, sounds like you've obviously done a whole range of things, but what were you actually studying at WAPA? Fairly general sort of performance arts, or were you doing dance?
No, it was music theatre. Yeah, it was music theatre.
Okay. And is that something that you were actually interested in, or you've, that was just, you know?
Well, it was, but I was kind of, I don't know if I was ready for that in a way, but I mean, my grandfather always used to call me Little Potter Stair, because in Cloncurry, we only ever got the ABC back in those days.
Yes, of course.
And so I would always watch the old black and white movies, like with Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, Gene Kelly, you know, all of those kind of movies. I was always like into it, but I think too, like, you know, because that digital person growing up, you kind of didn't get a lot of exposure to music theater, so you know, all the things like Les Mis and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
That's definitely, I always have Disneyland.
And it sounds like you made some very good connections while you were at WAPA as well. I know that Michael Griffiths, who is joining you on Keys and Harmonies in this new show or ongoing show that you've been touring. I believe he's a Helpman Award-winning performer, artistic director of the Perth International Cabaret Festival, and longtime collaborator and friend for you. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, me and Michael, like, we'd met at WAPA back in 97. Like, it was literally over half a lifetime ago for us. But, Michael's kind of always been this one consistent level to bump into him over the years, like whether it was in Brisbane or Sydney or Perth or even in Edinburgh, when I happened to go over there just to visit some friends and an ex, I bumped into him over, you know what I mean? So he's kind of always been there. And then I did a web series called A Chance of Fair, and when I was writing that, it was just going to be a very straight narrative, and my mate who was producing it, he said, yes, you know what, he said, you write songs as well, why not tuck songs in there? I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, do it. So I'd written a few new songs and stuff like that, and then because I'd seen Michael's show, when Michael's just a fabulous, amazing performer in his own right, and I sent him some of the songs. I said, what do you think of these? Do you think, you could do something with them, like maybe make a show or something? And the next thing I know, he was talking to the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, and we had our world premiere of Bigger and Blacker in 2019 at Adelaide Cabaret. And, we've done things like at the City Opera House, at the Watt in Brisbane. We've done a regional tour of Queensland. We've done the Perth International Cabaret Festival. We're here doing Adelaide Fringe. And now we're coming up to Melbourne, which I'm very excited about, and to Canberra and other places as well, where I don't think I'm allowed to announce that because that's taking that for announcements. But yeah, if you told me 3 years ago that we'd still be doing the show and taking it around, I don't know if I'd believe you.
Well, I'm really glad that it's coming to Melbourne for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival because it's just around the corner. And so the show is called Bigger and Blacker. Now, I'm sure that we can make a few guesses about what this is about. However, rather than being presumptuous, could you tell us a little bit about the show? Because I believe it's at least partially or maybe even fully autobiographical. What can people expect?
Yeah. Well, and it's all my original songs, so it's all songs that I've written all over the years, and which is part of the reason why I think I would have found it hard to believe that we'd be doing it 3 years later, that people actually come to hear songs I've written, because I've never really, until that day, Cabaret Festival, I'd never performed my songs in such a way, really, like I've never really, showcased myself as a songwriter, And again, I guess at the Bigger and Black, I mean, there's a joke I make at the start, so yeah, if you want to hear the joke, people have to come along. but the Bigger and Black, like, it can be, it's all about, there are things bigger than ourselves, like, life is bigger than ourselves. And when I talk about connection, like the Aboriginal people and, kind of everything, this world and everything and how we're interconnected, everything is bigger than just the self. But I also talk about stuff as an Aboriginal person. I talk about stuff as a gay person, obviously. I tell the story, like, my struggles with fame and everything after black comedy and all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of have this connection through it where it kind of all flows through music, which is a lovely thing to do.
And so, I mean, what has your experience been, being a gay person who is also a First Nations person in so-called Australia? How has that been for you as a performer, as far as opportunities go, but also just as a person?
I think in a way, it's been a strength for me, really. It's because even when I wrote a chat, when we did The Titters, and when I wrote that, The Titters was the first gay wedding on Australian TV.
Really?
Yeah, think of it. Like, Channel 10, they claimed to having the first gay wedding, but they did the gay wedding after it was legalized. But we did the wedding. That's why in The Titters, that's why we fly to New Zealand.
Wow.
But we're actually the first, and it's also the only second Aboriginal wedding that's ever been on Australian TV. There was The Circuit, which had a wedding right back there. So when you think about all the TV shows and all the kind of history of Australian television, for The Titters to be the first gay wedding, the 92nd Aboriginal wedding ever, that's not something I take lightly. Like, I'm aware of the responsibility as a gay Aboriginal man about telling stories about gay Aboriginal people. Like I said, I kind of have a responsibility to Aboriginal people, I have a responsibility to gay people, and I also have a responsibility to gay Aboriginal people. I use it as a strength, and I tell the story of that, and it's been so humbling and heartwarming that audience have been embracing the show the way they have, like The Bigger and Blacker.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's been great.
I mean, yeah, it's a point of like intersectionality that is not something experienced by, I suppose, the broader community of Australia. So great to see represented.
Well, that's, and I think people are too, and like, kind of seeing the humanity in it as well, as kind of what, because I talk about family, I talk about music, and those two are universal things. I talk about love, and that's all something, then, where our humanity intersects as well. And even on tour, like, I've had men come up to me after the show and hug me and thank me for talking about mental health style. because they feel it's giving them permission to talk about stuff. Like, they've not felt alone in that. I've had gay people come up, love talking about my coming out story. I've had mothers come up hugging me, love that I talk about the gay stuff because they have gay children, you know, in country towns or stuff, you know, or even in the cities, you find it hard. And then I have Aboriginal people coming up talking about, they people talk about racism.
Yeah.
And stuff and all that. So, you know, there's kind of something in it for everybody, and that's why it's just lovely to see people connect on that level and connect through music.
And I suppose it's also very good to get that that sort of reinforcement of what you're doing, and, you know, gives you the momentum to keep going with it.
It is. And I even had a woman bring 15-year-olds up after the show, and she said, I just wanted you to know that you had just kept 2 15-year-old boys off their phones for an hour.
Wow.
That's crazy.
especially when you did the rap thing, just at the East kind of picked up when I started doing rap in the show, and you know, they made a point about, because they were musicians, they want to be musicians, and they said, oh, you know, I want to be this, you know, I said, be better than me. I said, you know, be humble about it, but that's what I want to see. I want to see, you know, young queer people or young Aboriginal people, young Aboriginal queer people be better than me, because that's the only way we get better as a people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's even been lovely to have that as well.
Well, I mean, these days we're seeing not enough, but at least more representation with incredible First Nations performers, rappers, comedians, musicians. It's really exciting that this show is coming to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And I know that even though these are some very big topics within the show, it will be hilarious because...
There's plenty of laughter. I mean, it's me. I'm an idiot. So, you know.
I mean, it kind of feels like everything you do seems to be handled with this beautiful balance between, like, it's a nuance of information and comedy. Even, like, I saw you your documentary you did of A Lookie at Cookie. And it's just so great. Like, so I think that Melbourne is very lucky to have you. What are the dates that your show is running?
So the 31st of March to the 10th of April.
Great. And whereabouts is it on?
We're at the Malthouse, and it's 7:30, I believe.
Great.
Every night except for Sunday, which might be like 6:30.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I imagine if people are looking to book in, you can head to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival website. But in the meantime, thank you so much for coming on, Stephen. And best of luck with the show. I will definitely be getting a seat up the front.
Oh, well, make sure you say hi after.
Mm-hmm. I will.
My details and cups we've got as well. Come on, be at the front of my merch.
Done deal.
No, of course.
Thanks, Stephen.
All right.
No worries, guys.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Stephen Oliver here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.